Chapter 17. When I was awake after the operation, I had not been away. You do not go away. They only choke you. It is not like dying, it is just a chemical choking, so you do not feel. And afterwards you might as well have been drunk, except that when you throw up, nothing comes but bile, and you do not feel better afterward. I saw sandbags at the end of the bed. They were on pipes that came out of the cast. After a while, I saw Miss Gage, and she said, "How is it now?" "Better," I said. "He did a wonderful job on your knee." "How long did it take?"
2 hours and a half.
"Did I say anything silly?"
"Not a thing."
"Don't talk, just be quiet."
I was sick, and Catherine was right. It did not make any difference who was on night duty.
There were 3 other patients in the hospital now. A thin boy in the Red Cross from Georgia with malaria. A nice boy, also thin from New York, with malaria and jaundice. And a fine boy who had tried to unscrew the fuse cap from a combination shrapnel and high explosive shell for a souvenir. This was a shrapnel shell used by the Austrians in the mountains with a nose cap which went on after the burst and exploded on contact. Catherine Barclay was greatly liked by the nurses because she would do night duty indefinitely. She had quite a little work with the malaria people. The boy who had unscrewed the nose cap was a friend of ours and never rang at night, unless it was necessary, but between the times of working we were together. I loved her very much, and she loved me. I slept in the daytime, and we wrote notes during the day when we were awake and sent them by Ferguson. Ferguson was a fine girl. I never learned anything about her except that she had a brother in the 52nd Division and a brother in Mesopotamia, and she was very good to Catherine Barclay. "Will you come to our wedding, Fergie?" I said to her once. "You'll never get married."
"We will."
"No, you won't."
"Why not?"
"You'll fight before you marry."
"We never fight."
"You've time yet."
"We don't fight."
"You'll die then. Fight or die, that's what people do. They don't marry." I reached for her hand.
"Don't take hold of me," she said. "I'm not crying."
"Maybe you'll be all right, you two. But watch out you don't get her in trouble. You get her in trouble and I'll kill you."
"I won't get her in trouble."
"Well, watch out then. I hope you'll be all right. You have a good time."
"We have a fine time."
"Don't fight then and don't get her into trouble."
"I won't."
"Mind you watch out. I don't want her with any of these war babies."
"You're a fine girl, Fergie."
"I'm not. Don't try and flatter me. How does your leg feel?"
"Fine."
"How is your head?"
She touched the top of it with her fingers.
It was sensitive, like a foot that had gone to sleep.
"It's never bothered me."
"A bump like that could make you crazy. It never bothers you?"
"No."
"You're a lucky young man. Have you the letter done? I'm going down."
"It's here," I said.
"You ought to ask her not to do night duty for a while. She's getting very tired."
"All right, I will."
"I want to do it, but she won't let me. The others are glad to let her have it." "You might just give her a little rest."
"All right."
"Miss Van Kampen spoke about you sleeping all the forenoons."
"She would."
"It would be better if you let her stay off nights for a little while."
"I want her to."
"You do not." "But if you would make her, I'd respect you for it."
"I'll make her."
"I don't believe it."
She took the note and went out. I rang the bell, and in a little while Miss Gage came in.